Welcome to our Created to Work podcast for Modern Day Daniels out of Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park. This podcast is for our Daniel Dinner group at Calvary, which is made up of guys working in secular jobs who, just like the prophet Daniel, serve a God who works. We'll host guests from around the country who have thought about the topic of incorporating their faith into their work and who are themselves modern-day Daniels, impacting their communities. This is an experiment to see what we can learn and how we can grow as a community.
I can already see how helpful it is to find the significance of what it means to be made in the image of God and bring that to bear on what you're working on, rather than just treating it like a job that gives you money so you can go and do the other things that God really cares about.
On. Okay, now it's on. Sweet. All right, we're here in the upstairs bedroom of 2638 Euclid.
The upper room.
The upper room with Austin Mayfield.
Josh Ballantyne.
All right, so we're going to figure out what this podcast is right now.
Let's do it.
That's what we're here to do. Figure out what it is we're trying to do.
So what are we trying to do?
So we're trying to create, so we have a group. We have the Daniel Dinners. We're a bunch of guys in secular jobs from Calvary and from around Chicago. We come together and we eat vegetables and drink water and talk about how to incorporate our faith into our work.
Like Daniel.
So there's that group. So now we're trying to get other people that are way smarter than us to record an interview with us. And
somehow you've been successful so far.
Yeah, we get some great people already, great guests. Well, you haven't even heard the interviews, so you don't actually know if they have been successful.
But I have the highest expectations.
So hopefully they are good. Yeah, you have high expectations.
They will definitely be great.
I had a lot of fun, so we'll see how they turn out. So that's the idea. So the purpose of this is to create content for the people in the group.
What about for you personally?
So for me, so I kind of look at it like I'm in advertising. I sell advertising. That's my career. That's, you know, how I provide for my family. And I'm kind of in this stage where I want to go to the next level in my career. I don't know what exactly that means, but I feel like there's this new stage. Like I've had a pretty good sales career, you know, not like amazing, but it's something I've done pretty well with. But now it's like I'm 30 years old. What's next? It's like that 30-year-old like itch. So in my mind, I'm like, hey, do I go do an MBA? Maybe that's like the next thing I do. Do I go into some type of different role outside of sales? You know. And so with those questions, I'm deciding, okay, well, let's talk to people, because my faith is the most important thing to me. How do I incorporate my faith into the work that I'm doing? And so it's kind of like a replacement for the MBA. That's kind of how I see it.
Which at first glance, it seems like pretty antithetical to a lot of people, I bet, when they hear like, oh, advertising and like faith, right? That's kind of been a reaction that in certain conversations we've had, some people react like, oh, well, that's surprising. Right? Which is an interesting assumption that people have to begin with, that those things are like opposed.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like often in sales too, sales and advertising.
Right.
They're like, oh, well, you know, like versus it being a pastor or being in a nonprofit.
Right. Something much more conventionally associated with faith or belief. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I feel like I don't feel like that. I feel like this is where God would want me to be. So it's like, how do I put those two worlds together? So I'm not, you know, because I feel like I am having a greater purpose in that work. So how do I incorporate that work that I'm doing with everything? So I think that's kind of where, like, at least, how about for you? I mean, because we kind of started, and I wrote you a letter, like, about a year ago.
We became pen pals.
We became pen pals.
Even though we live in the same city.
Like literally blocks from each other. Right. And because I remember I was flying to Houston for a meeting with a client, and I wrote a long letter just like, because we've had a bunch of conversations because you're in a similar situation. We're like, okay, how do I negotiate this? So how did, like, when you first got the letter, like, what kind of things were you thinking? Like,
I thought it was great because, like you said, there are a lot of smart people who have had these conversations and have worked out sort of frameworks that are more helpful than what we were just starting with. Or certainly.
So basically, you got the letter and you're like, wow, Josh literally has no idea what the heck he's talking about.
We clearly need to spend more time on it.
Than what he's doing.
No, it was great because it engaged me in a conversation in an intentional way. Because I think, like you said, I like you, kind of come from a background where faith is everything. It's super important. And also come from a background, though, where it is not conventionally associated with secular work, where faith is not conventionally associated with secular work. Mm-hmm. It's like you've got Monday through Friday. And yeah, you should still be like an ethical person and show that you're a Christian in that way. But mm-hmm. your calling from God as a Christian and as a new creation really has very little to do with what you actually produce from 9 to 5. Mm. And so coming from that background and not being in ministry, you know, there are these steps along the way for a Christian to, I don't know, if you're in high school, you're in like youth group, or if you're in college, you're in the college, whatever the, you know, intervarsity or whatever the Christian group is, and you have direction there and sort of a place to stand and look out from. But after that, when you become a real boy or a real girl mm-hmm. in the working world.
Yeah, boys and girls.
Where do you go from there? Right, yeah. Yeah. So if it's not ministry, then what part does faith have to play really in your day to day? And that kind of driving question for someone who wants to know how to incorporate faith into my everyday life, because it is an everyday thing. It is. So starting those letters back and forth felt like, you know, like you said, we had talked a little bit casually before, but actually penning some thoughts forced it to be a little bit more intentional in such a good way. And it seemed like the fruit came to bear pretty quickly from that, just from spending a little bit of time intentionally thinking about it. And then, like you said, we have the Daniel dinners mm-hmm. Where we get together with a bunch of guys and think about that and talk about it and try to pool some resources together for how to better engage and find helpful frameworks for the faith and work discussion. And that, I mean, that has already been pretty transformative in what that brings to my 9 to 5 and what I am able to bring to it.
Yeah, you were saying that it was like the last few months you've just been more like engaged.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think if you isolate, I'm not even in a position right now where I feel like I'm at the core of my career or anything, or like I'm really growing in what I want to do over the course of my life. I don't even know at this point. Maybe it's the 30-year itch too, but I don't even know at this point if I'm going to stay doing one thing for a super long stretch of my life. But in everything that I do, I can already see how helpful it is to find the significance of what it means to be made in the image of God and bring that to bear on what you're working on, rather than just treating it like a job that gives you money so you can go and do the other things that God really cares about or support those doing the work that God really cares about.
Yeah, and that's one thing, because at our church at Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park, hashtag Calvary, Todd, that was one thing Todd was saying, is because he's come to the dinners and he's saying how often we look at a job like it's, you make as much money as you can so you can be generous.
Right.
With actual kingdom work.
Right.
Which is, you know.
Air quotes, actual.
Yeah. Or you just tell everyone about your faith at your work. So you're basically not focusing on the work. You're focusing on, you know, evangelizing to people.
Right.
Which totally excludes, like you said, the actual work that we're doing.
The work itself, right.
And so I think that's a key part of the goal of this too, is really talking to people that are practitioners.
Right.
People that, you know, are really engaged in this day in and day out, which not everyone that we talk to is exactly that role, but I think that's our goal too, is to talk to people that are really engaged in this, practicing this day in and day out, you know.
Right. Yeah, and those, like, workplace evangelism or like, having good workplace ethics or integrity, these are excellent things, Todd would say, too, right? And that's not to be just pushed aside, but that's only part of the story, right? And it doesn't capture, like you said, the what God thinks about the work itself, what you actually end up doing between those moments of workplace evangelism or between... Mm-hmm. The bringing home the paycheck and being able to be generous, or, you know, what about the work itself?
Yeah, and like, how do you get excited about it? And one of the interviews that we just did, which everyone will be privy to soon, one thing he said is, you know, you should be excited about the work. You know, it should be something, you know, your vocation, or your, like, you should be, it should bring, like, excitement. I think that's a big part of it too, is how do you be excited about it and not just for your, like, just to be excited and just for your own
gain. For the sake of being enthusiastic. Yeah, right, right.
But, like, it's something you get excited to go to work, and how do you bring that, like, emotional aspect of the excitement part
right.
of it too?
And the level of engagement, right? Like, what does...
Yeah.
You know, if God has you, if you believe you're at, for the time being, not for the for your whole life, but for the moment, for this week, for today, when you go into work, if you believe you're where God wants you to be, what does that mean about what you're about to do? You know, how can you be joyful in the work that he has prepared beforehand for you to do today?
Yeah.
You know,
even if it's really difficult or it's not fun,
right.
You know, because I feel like that's a lot coming out of, like you said, the 30-year itch. A lot of us spend our 20s, or we probably should spend our 20s, doing jobs we hate, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that we can, you know, get into something better, or, you know, find the work that we have to do. But those are hard jobs. I mean, no one starts off, you know, VP and, you know, all these great things.
Right.
You know, you start off with really hard jobs.
Yeah.
And so how do we, at that, you know, how do we really engage with that and be excited about that and the difficulty of it?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a big part of it too. Because, and those are the questions that come up a lot, I feel like, at the dinners too, with a lot of the different guys, is what if I really don't like my job?
Right.
And how do I do that?
Right.
How
does God work through me in that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it might be worth mentioning something that you and I talked about a little bit ago. I was reading Cost of Discipleship by Bonhoeffer, and he has this idea of, like, how the good things that monasticism brought, like, monks took sanctification so seriously, and that was really good. But the downside is it created this two-tier Christianity, where the top rung is able to actually go and live real Christian life, and everyone else is just sort of relegated to nominal Christianity, and it's not super important. And I feel like we have the same dynamic today, where if you are a missionary or you're clergy, like, you get it, right? Like, you are doing Christianity right. You are doing the kind of work that God cares about. But for everyone else, I mean, your best bet is to just, like, try to support the people who are doing the real work. That's not what everyone would say across the board. And I really feel like that's not the overt tone in at least the parts of Christendom that we have run with, but it's
something you felt. Like, you said that you felt that your work isn't as important.
Sure.
And you often felt like, why I really should be a pastor. I really should.
Right.
And I feel like you've really battled that the last few years of, like, what, well, should be doing this at all.
Right.
Am I putting words in your mouth?
No, that's absolutely true. I think that's probably the fairest way to say it, is that I have felt that way. I think maybe others have felt that way. I haven't met anyone who would say, like, yeah, I totally think what you just said, you know, like, from like a pastor's perspective or a missionary's perspective. But there is this sort of sense that that's where the real gospel kingdom work is happening. And I think that's to our detriment. I think we're missing out, like, as the church as a whole.
you know, I feel like you, like, if we were to take, like, my personality would be more to err on the side of all business, you know, just go and on that side, you get into the sort of self-glorification because you need other people to affirm you. It's like, I need success so much. So, and then just because I want the affirmation, and it can become dangerous.
Right.
And then on your side, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I need, like
something more spiritual.
Yeah. Something more spiritual where like this work is like below what God really has for me.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like we have like a different like tendency, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
One other thing I was thinking is, something that's come up a lot in our conversations is just the community aspect. I think that's a big, one thing that really inspired us, I think, was just the, that Amazing Grace book where, there's the Clapham sect where there was a group in England who had a bunch of different careers and, you know, brewers and politicians and pastors and all these different groups of people. They lived in the same area. And they ended up getting rid of slavery in Great Britain, which then led to getting rid of slavery in America and all that. So they achieved great things, but they did it all in the context of real community, living close together. And I feel like with our with these Daniel dinners and with our relationship, one of the big parts is like community.
Doing it together. Yeah.
So what would you say about like that kind of stuff? Like how, you know, the community aspect of this. Now and then in our context being in Calvary and stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think for whatever reason God I mean, I think it's kind of a Trinitarian thing, but like it is not good for man to be alone, right? And iron sharpens iron, and just the church works best in community. People work best in community. And I think any one aspect of what you bring to the table or what I bring to the table or what anyone in the group brings to the table, it might be great, but it's going to be much better in conversation with what everyone else has to say. I think kind of going rogue and trying to figure this stuff out on your own, it's a big topic. And honestly, even though it's been around for, you know, decades and decades at this point, the church has known historically that the marketplace or like the industry or the is where a lot of the work needs to be done for a long time, but we haven't successfully like approached it in a theological way so as to actually change our culture substantively over the long term. And so I think if we try to go at this subject just one off, you know, one by myself or by yourself, we're gonna end up in some places that are probably insufficient. Theologically, and also practically, we're gonna be missing out on a lot of the like fruit that can come from engaging in conversation with each other, and then also with people like you said who have kind of walked this path before and are wiser about you know than we are about finding some of the helpful frameworks like we talked about.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing now too. Is I feel like our because most of the guys in the group right now, it's like 25 to 40.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us really in this generation of whatever that age group would be, is we really do care about community and engaging in a more intentional way. Even though being in the area we live in, this near suburb of Chicago, it's very transient, it's very career driven, that can become more important than faith and community and relationships. And it's really easy to just go with the relationships you want versus getting deep with really important relationships.
Yep.
But I do feel like that is something unique about where we live, and you know, this generation would be, we want to engage in a community in a deeper way. At least I feel like
absolutely
we do, you know? And so I think that's something too of the importance that we want to just engage with each other and push each other into something new. And to me, that's exciting too, absolutely, to do it with each other and to discover what this is and what could be possible.
Right.
And we've seen it done like the Amazing Grace, they got rid of slavery. We're like, who knows like what a relationship can do.
Yeah.
You know? So I think having a specific topic of conversation like this and then doing it in the context of the community is exciting
too. Absolutely. And in one way, that's kind of like the point of the podcast, right? Like we're trying to bring more people into the conversation, and open it up to an even wider audience, certainly to the Daniel group to listen to, and if anyone, you know, happens to want to engage with it outside of that, it's like so much the better.
And that's so, because I'm part of, like, that's something Facebook is doing right now. They're really pushing for groups. Like, they say the future of Facebook is like these closed off groups. And I'm part of a few groups like that where you engage in conversation, like sales topics or any of these different topics. So, you know, we have the Facebook group where people can engage, and that would be a big part of this too, is just having a community where people can go into Facebook and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this issue with my boss. You know, maybe kind of get some advice on it.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a certain issue at my work recently where it was a really like scary time. You know, there was some layoffs that happened. And just having that as part of the conversation in the Facebook group was helpful to me. So I think that's something too that would be a goal, is the community. So not only, and also like what can be achieved. Because another thing that really inspires me is I read the John Rockefeller biography. And I
big Rockefeller fan here.
Yeah, I love that book, and I don't even know why exactly, except that he was. You know, the book is called Titan, so it's just like this idea of like this big like movement and, you know, industry.
It's hulking industrial figure, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it was definitely, there's questionable things there too. Oh, and by the way, it looks like our smoke died down.
We go out there.
We're barbecuing and we're smoking a, what is it? A pork shoulder.
Pork shoulder, yeah.
Pork
Boston
shoulder.
Butt, yeah.
We started at 7 a.m. We've been smoking it. And it looks like the smoke has died down, so we're going to have to get out there soon.
Put some more chips on.
But, the Rockefeller book, he was a Christian. Like, his faith was so tied to it. I thought that was inspiring to see someone that really wants to serve God, but also is, you know, really creating an industry.
Sure.
So I think that was an aspect, too. So in the context of community, because it wasn't just him, he had a lot of really tight business partners.
Right.
They created things that nobody thought was possible, you know, creating ExxonMobil now, which is the largest company in the world. So I think that's, you know, that's interesting too. And then to think of the questions, because there are moral questions that come with that. Yep. If you're the largest company in the world, there's a lot of real dangerous issues that come up. So in the context of community, like you said, that's important, like keeping each other in check, which... actually, one of the interviews with Stephen Garber, he talks a lot about that, about how you need to keep each other in check. And, you know, so I think, and not to be so moralistic about it, like, oh, we know best. But if you don't have the community, you can't really discover that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's, you know, pretty much, you know, the goal of the podcast. One thing that you had written out was like, kind of like, what's at stake if you don't do it? I don't know, do you have anything like any ideas? I know I'm putting you on the spot. But I think one of the things that is good to think about is you have this thought about how, you know, if you don't do certain things, what's at stake if you don't do it. So I think having some of those ideas of like, hey, if we don't, I feel like it's really easy to not engage in this topic and not think about your work. And, you know, whether it's with this community or other communities, like, well, you know, I don't know if you want to fill that in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like just from the beginning, for a lot of us, this is where we put all of our waking hours or most of our waking hours. So if you spend, whatever, 90,000 hours at work in your life, like just being more intentional and getting a more robust perspective, like what kind of impact does that have on your, like even from a very practical perspective, what about the impact that has on your career trajectory, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that change it?
So would that be like 70-80% of our time is spent at work?
Yeah. Oh, easy. Yeah. I think the average is right around there. Mm-hmm. Our relationships in the office, like how we approach work from a biblical perspective, is definitely going to impact the relationships we make, the models we set for our children, right?
Yep.
How our kids tend, the presuppositions that they will bring to their adult lives, based on what they've seen from us. That doesn't even touch like our communities, like our local communities, our neighborhoods, the way that God is sanctifying us in our jobs. So, I think there's a lot at stake. Work-life balance, our ambitions, our professional reputation. Like, if you, somebody wise told me once that if your work is going well and your home life is going well, you can handle a lot as a person, right? If those two things are going okay. But if either one of those is off, it doesn't take much to really trip you up. And I think that just shows, because we often think about like, oh yeah, my home life is really important, right? But it just shows it's the potential for good and for bad that we have in our work is incredible. And to put the blinders on and to not think intentionally, to not think theologically, to not develop a more robust perspective in the context of community with other believers is... we would just be missing out on so much.
And you know, it's because it's so easy to hide.
Yeah.
It, like, there's everything set up for us to, you know, we have gate fences around our houses. We have, you know, we go to the church where we can put on a face. You know, we have, you only post so much on social media.
Yeah. We have parking stickers that let us into certain beaches.
I know. Yes. You're referring to the beach that my wife and I were not allowed to go into yesterday. And there was nobody on the beach anyways. It's like, what the heck? But yeah, it's really easy to hide. So, going deep in those issues, it's so important because like you said, you know, you can handle so much. And we're going to come up against trials. We're going to hit really difficult things, not just in our marriages, in our families, but in our work. It's going to be difficult, you know. You're going to have a tough boss. You're going to have all these things that are difficult. So we need to be able to carry the weight of it. So it is important to go deep. And if we don't, you know, we're just going to be thrown and tossed by the wind, you know? And so I think that's a great point of just, you know, perseverance, grit. Like, those things are part of the walk of faith, you know, and perseverance. And we need, God will give us the ability to hold those things. But, you know, we need to join along in that walk. So yeah, I love that. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the interviews have to...
Yeah, I want you to hear... You haven't heard any of them, so I'm excited to hear what you're... I'm nervous, though, because I feel like your expectations are really high.
I don't think I'm going to be disappointed.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So that's kind of the format. Definitely engage with the Facebook group. Where you can be invited. It's a closed group, so people can be engaged. We'll have a link in the notes, and you know, we'll try to put these out, you know, as we get the interviews. We'll start off with 5 and then see if there's more that we want to do, and you know, maybe we just do 5 and that's it, and we'll see how it goes. But hopefully it brings a lot of good information to people. And the biggest thing is, I think me and Austin don't really know what to expect from people. We don't know a lot, which is, we just want to learn, and that's really the goal of this, is for us to learn some things.
That's what's exciting about it.
So hopefully we can learn some things. So should we do, how do you end it, like beatbox or like...
Yeah, let's do some freestyle.
So boom boom. See you guys later.
Cue the music.
Hashtag follow us on Instagram. No, you don't have Instagram. You don't even have Facebook.
Yeah. I'm helpless.
Hey guys, quick reminder again to join the Facebook group. Search Daniel Dinners on Facebook to request to join the private group. If we contribute to the discussion, the more we help not only ourselves, but others as well.